Welcome back, friends. I'm so grateful for this time with you all each week. It's just so precious to me. And this morning, our scripture invites us into a conversation about what it means to practice humbling ourselves as a way of relating to God, ourselves, and to one another. And I have found this to be a challenging theme to sit with, because I think that in humbling ourselves, there's perhaps a grace and a beauty to be encountered in our everyday embodied humanity that I want to become more familiar with. I would like to experience that more often than I do. And so as we lean in together and listen to our text today and the ways in which Jesus humbled himself, I want to invite you to join me in reflecting on what makes that difficult for us. And I hope that by the time we come to the close of our homily today, that we will have some different ways to think about what a practice of humbling ourselves might look like. C.S. Lewis once commented that when we're practicing humbling ourselves, we're typically not aware of it when we're doing it. So perhaps a question for us to begin with might be this: how do we recognize a person who's humble? If you think about someone that you consider to be humble, how would you describe that person? So I'm going to give you a moment and invite you to turn to someone near you or type a response into the chat. And we'll just give you a moment to reflect on that. As you continue to hold that question in mind, I'll share with you that when I thought about this, I wondered if perhaps children are often more humble than we are as adults. And I was reminded of a conversation I had a while back with Fiola, Jen and Harmon's daughter. Fiola was telling me about gymnastics, something she's quite good at. And I noticed in that conversation, she spoke really easily of the places where she felt strong and where she was having difficulty. And I felt like Fiola was teaching me something about the relationship between humbling ourselves and extending welcome and belonging to all the parts of who we are. And thinking about that reminded me of someone else who I think also displays these qualities. So this is Fiola on Halloween a couple years back. And I love this photo. And since Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing, I've been thinking about what made her legacy so powerful. And I think it has something to do with what we're talking about today. Justice Ginsburg invited us as a nation to humble ourselves and to practice extending welcome and belonging to more of our full humanity. So as we go along and listen to our text for today, let's begin to notice the ways that Jesus humbled himself by embracing his full humanity and by emptying himself of all that he discovered was not authentic to who he was as a human being. And let's perhaps become curious what makes that difficult for us and how we might help each other with it as we practice following Jesus's example. So our text begins, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus," which raises a question for us. What was the mind that was in Christ? When I think about that, I think, well, it was a human mind. It was a human brain just like ours, which means he relates to the thoughts we often think and the pressure we often feel to be perfect in ways that are perhaps incompatible with also being human. And so here's something else we might notice about how Jesus navigated that reality. We read that though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited or, in other translations, grasped or desired. So what does that mean for us? Do we sometimes wish to be something other than human? Or do we sometimes regard equality with God or perfection as something to be grasped or attained? And if humbling ourselves means embracing who we really are as human beings. Why do we feel such pressure to be constantly perfecting ourselves? We may find we have a lot of different responses to that question, and I'll just add a thought to that mix. I've been spending a lot of time lately in the creation story in Genesis, and there's something I'll invite us to notice in this story. So as the Hebrew scriptures open in the very beginning, we're told that humans were created in the image of God to reflect the qualities of God, but not to be the same as God. And it seems the original humans perhaps understood that, and we might say that they were humble and embracing of their humanity. And then as the story goes, the serpent approached and said this, "God knows that when you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." And in this story, the suggestion that you should be like God or you should be something other than just human, it's presented as sort of the existential falsehood, like the lie that was introduced early in the story of humanity that we've perhaps been trying to recover from ever since or needing to be saved from. And then Jesus entered our story as one of us in a fully human body. And we're told that he did not regard equality with God something to be desired, but he humbled himself and embraced his humanity and ours. So is it possible that one of the healing outcomes of God becoming human was perhaps to invite us to unlearn that lie, the suggestion that we should be anything else? And if so, if that was the mind that was in Christ, then how might we practice letting that same mind be in us? And thinking about that, I was reminded of a story about Saint Benedict. He lived in the early centuries of Christianity, and the monks of his day were starting to engage in these complicated self-improvement strategies like extreme fasting. And Saint Benedict saw what it was doing to those communities, and so he took a very different approach. He established for his community these humble rhythms that were not very impressive at all from the outside. He emphasized humbling ourselves and embracing our humanity by connecting with the created world through nature. Here are a few examples. Connecting with our embodied selves through inhaling and exhaling, laughter, rest, sleep, and connecting with others through small experiments of kindness. And so perhaps we might find it meaningful this week to reflect on ways we're already engaging many of these humble practices. And maybe the invitation is to notice the spiritual beauty and grace that may be found in embracing our everyday human lives. All right, so our text continues by saying this. Jesus did not regard equality with God as something to be desired, but he emptied himself. And this was also a part of him humbling himself. So what do we imagine Jesus was emptying himself of? I wonder if by embracing his full humanity, if Jesus was also emptying himself of everything that was not authentic to who he was. And if that's a helpful way to think about humbling ourselves as emptying ourselves of inauthenticity, what do we imagine that practice might look like for us? When I think about that, I imagine it taking a long time, a lifelong practice of learning who we are and who we aren't and how God has uniquely crafted each of us. And as we move through that process, I think we need each other. We need relationships of profound belonging and welcome where it feels safe enough to practice removing the metaphorical masks we wear and revealing to one another what's authentically on the inside. And I've recently been following the work of an educator, Ashanti Branch, and he's passionate about creating an environment where youth and adults can remove their figurative masks and practice emptying themselves of inauthenticity. And I want to play you a little of him sharing what he's discovered through this work. So let's take a listen.
We find that of adults who say on the outside of the world, outside the mask, I show the world that I'm happy, 7 out of 10 of them say that actually, I can't tell anybody that I'm sad, I'm afraid, I'm stressed. And these are adults. They themselves are already clear that there are things that they can't talk about. Imagine that we have a clear definition of what the world wants to see from us. Men, women, boys, and girls are really clear that the world wants to see certain things from me. And there are certain things the world doesn't want to see. So I hide them. I ignore them. And what we found is that when we give young people, older people, a space to deal with the real stuff, it allows your heart to come open.
So Ashanti's invitation to us would be to consider what would we find written on the inside of our mask, the parts of us that typically go unseen. And then what's on the outside of our mask? So here's an example of a mask that a participant drew in one of Ashanti's workshops. What's on the outside of our mask that might not actually be authentic to who we are and that we might consider emptying ourselves of? Just as in our text, we're told that Jesus emptied himself, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. Here at Vox, we discovered a few years ago that one of the values we hold as a community is a posture of humbling ourselves, which we have described this way. God gives grace to the humble, and we are called to a deep acceptance of this messy humanity, both ours and others, just as Jesus practiced. And I think as we practice emptying ourselves of what's inauthentic in us, we may find our capacity for grace expands. And that a lot of our human struggles are shared. And though we may not always know exactly how to help each other with those, it can make a profound difference just knowing we're not alone in them. All right, so our passage wraps up by saying this. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So that's not particularly hopeful news, but it might be worth reflecting on because that was Jesus's unique story. And I think each of us has a unique and unrepeatable story that we're living. And the doorway to discovering what that story is may be this practice of humbling ourselves. That may be the way we come to understand the story, which is ours alone. Jesus once said, be perfect as God is perfect. And that word for perfect isn't what it sounds like in English. It means fulfilling your telos, your end purpose, your role in the larger story. And I've come to believe that as we each learn to own and live our authentic story, then collectively over time, we come to reflect God's image more perfectly together. The author Brené Brown has said that owning our story is perhaps the bravest thing we'll ever do. It requires humbling ourselves, and it can be a doorway to profound grace and beauty. And so I'd like to close by playing something for you. It's from a film Jason and Gracie and I watched the other night, which I thought is a beautiful example of this. It's a true story of a group of fishermen from a Cornish village in northern England. And they call themselves Fishermen's Friends. And most of them were born and raised in this small village, and they didn't aspire to leave the village or become anything other than who they were. And an authentic part of their everyday life was singing these traditional sea shanties from the 1700s, these songs that sailors used to keep, they used to sing to keep them in sync on the ship, to keep their spirits up, and to help them grieve when tragedies occurred. And so these fishermen eventually recorded their music, and many of those recording sessions took place in this stone church in their village that was over 300 years old. And what touched me about their story was how consistently they rejected the pressure to be or become something other than who they were. But by being fully themselves, they managed to live into this unique story. And so I'd like to play you a little of their music and invite us to reflect on how humbling ourselves may be a doorway to owning our unique story and how beautiful the result of that can be. So here's a little from the Fisherman's Friends.
Last night I heard the cry of my last companion. My soul has been torn from me, and I am bleeding. As the beauty around me fails, and I am screaming, I am the last of the great whales, and I am dying. My heart, it has been...
It's really a sweet story and such a beautiful example of what can come from us just living our unique story. And so for Jesus, humbling himself and owning his unique story meant dying on a cross as a way of letting us know that God is not a threat to us, that God loves our humanity and invites us to be humble ourselves and embrace it so that we may discover and own our unique stories as well. So, Vox, what is our unique story? And how might we practice humbling ourselves and owning it? I'll be holding these questions together with you, and I'd like to leave you with these closing words and invite us to consider how humbling ourselves and embracing our full humanity may allow us collectively to reflect the image of God even more perfectly together, just by being the human beings we are. So if you would take a few deep breaths with me, let's connect with our embodied selves for a moment this morning. If it's helpful, I invite you to close your eyes, and like to leave you with these words. It's called A Blessing for One Who is Human. May you know in your bones a belonging that is yours because you are you and no one else. May your body rest in a welcome that encircles all that is in you, both seen and unseen. May you inhale and exhale particles of love. May you laugh with the aspens as your unique word bubbles up inside you. May you whisper it first to the moon and then bury it with the worms. And then when it breaks through to the light, cradle it to your chest and then sing it from the roof so brightly it shatters the universe. And now listen as the stars echo it back. Your sacred word in the language of all who are free. You are loved and unrepeatable. In the name of God, the humanity of Christ, and the beauty of the Spirit. Amen.